Thank you. gathered this morning on this Epiphany Sunday morning, just as the wise men journeyed to find the one, we gather in this place to encounter the one we call our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jill, for that beautiful In Christ Alone for our prelude this morning. Well, good morning and Happy New Year. I pray that the first days of 2026 has treated you well. May the Spirit guide us, not just in our worship this hour this morning, but in the year of 2026. This morning, we conclude the season of Christmas with Epiphany Sunday, remembering the arrival of the Magi to worship the Christ child. For those who are first-time guests, if there's any out here, I see one guest, but she's not a first-time guest. I'd like to say a special welcome to Mercy this morning, as she's traveled a long ways to be here today, all the way from the UK. Hey, welcome, Mercy. We're so glad to see you. For those on Facebook Live that are joining us this morning, I welcome you. If this is your first time visiting our worship service, please send our pastor, David, an email and just let him know that who you are and what you thought about the service. And we just welcome you to come in person. And for those who are watching on Facebook Live, you can pull up our worship service bulletin on www.fbc-elon.org and sing along with the hymns, and you'll be able to see the words on the screen behind me. I have to put these on to read now. I apologize. Immediately following the worship service today, all are invited to stay for lunch to undecorate the church building. All are welcome to stay, and we're having vegetable beef soup, chicken noodle soup, and I'm not sure what else, but I know those two are the two main ingredients. But please stay and help us undecorate the church. Kathy and her crew does such a wonderful job, and Kathy and her crew with the Chrismons. It's kind of sad to see it go down, but it is that time. Looking ahead for ministries this week, Golden Years will not meet this Tuesday. So I think that's on the bulletin, scratch that off. We will have choir rehearsal Wednesday night, and this is an invitation to anyone and everyone. We'll meet at 6:30 in the choir room. We would love to see your smiling faces join us. As you can tell, we need folks. But we're thankful for who we have. This Thursday, our first session of the winter Bible study, the title of it is The Call, will be on Facebook Live at 6:30 on Thursday night. And on Thursday night, David will be looking at Paul and the call to follow Christ. Church Council will meet next Sunday at 4 o'clock. Make sure you have a member of the ministry team there so that we can plan for the year. And a huge thank you for everyone who donated to the CBF offering for global missions. We exceeded our goal of $2,000. Now, just as the Magi journeyed to experience, worship, and celebrate the Christ child, may we do the same. Let's stand and sing, What Child Is This?
Scripture reading this morning is in Psalm chapter 72, verses 1 through 7, continue on 10 through 14. Words will be on the screen behind me. I'd ask that you just really stop. Pay reverent attention to God's word. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. And continuing on in verse 10, may the kings of Tarshish and distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out and the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence. for precious is their blood in his sight. Would you pray with me? Gracious and guiding God, on this day of Epiphany, we gather in awe of your light that shines in the darkness. Just as the star led the Magi to the Christ child, lead us now into your presence. Open our eyes to see your glory revealed among us, our ears to hear your truth proclaimed, and our hearts to receive the gift of your love. May our worship reflect the wonder of that first revelation, Christ, the light of the world, come for all people. We offer ourselves to you in praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next song is With Gladness Men of Old. You might not recognize that title, but it's to the tune of For the Beauty of the Earth. So you'll recognize the tune, maybe not the words. Let's stand and sing together.
Highlight for the week or for the month of January, we're going to focus on the Burlington Animal Services Animal Shelter. And the items that are listed in your bulletin are the ones that they're really asking for: dry dog and cat food, leashes, collars, harnesses, blankets, toys, peanut butter, and hand sanitizer. And you are welcome to drop off all these items in our communication center or in the fellowship hall this month. And now, if you will, join me for our offertory prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today to worship you and celebrate the beginning of a new year and the many possibilities that this new beginning brings. In the past week, the world has experienced a swing of emotions as we see and hear of the continued persecutions of the Christians in Nigeria, deadly fires, and deaths of people celebrating the new year and the celebratory jubilation of the people of Venezuela who see a possibility of a life no longer controlled by a dictator. We pray for your guidance of all of our leaders, federal, state, county, and our local municipalities. May they all seek your will as they fulfill their duties. God, we know you can work through all things to fulfill your plans. And we ask for your guidance, peace, and strength in our lives to work with you. Today, we ask for a special prayer for the students and teachers at Western Elements as they return to a school that will look and feel different as they mourn the loss of their fellow student and friend. Let them feel your presence and strength as they return. For those on our prayer list, we ask for healing and strength. We ask you to fill each of their needs as you know best. Now please take our offerings and help us to use them in the best way to bless others. Tell them about Jesus and bring glory to you. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Still proceeding. Good morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house this day on this Epiphany Sunday. And before we pray and before we encounter God's word once again, it's so good to see everyone. I apologize. My back's been pointing out to everybody, and I finally get to take everybody in like I normally do earlier in the service. But it's good to have our deacons who are willing to step up and help, and Gay as well as so many times before. It's not a good day, but it's a good day in the Lord's house. Let's pray this morning. Lord of bright and abiding light, you have shown us in the person of Jesus, your Son, a new way to live. You have poured your light into the world and have asked us to live in the light rather than run and hide in the darkness of doubt and despair. You promised to be our light all of our days, and ask us to place our trust in you. The journey in this light is risky. It means that we'll have to be very serious about our service to you, giving you our best and offering hope and light to others. In this new year of 2026, we bring you the names and situations of others for whom light seems to be a stranger. They struggle with ill health, economic hardship, broken and damaged relationships, loss of loved ones, and anxiety. We place them in your care this day. Let your light shine on them, bringing healing and hope. Help us to be bearers of that light in all that we do, all that we say, every action that we take. For we ask this in Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son's name. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us on this Epiphany Sunday morning. My hope is that you had a chance to spend time with family and friends over the last couple days and weeks, and you have experienced the Holy Spirit in this new year of 2026. This morning, we're going to conclude our examination of the Christmas story. So many times we think, stop at Christmas Eve, but this is the season of Christmas, as I preached last Sunday, and today wraps up that Christmas season with the story of Epiphany, the story of the Magi coming to worship and praise the Christ child Jesus, as is found in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, I know I have shared with you in the past that one of the biggest struggles that I have when writing sermons and preparing for this time during the service is not the sermon itself. I think God speaks through his word. But one of the things I struggle with is coming up with appropriate sermon titles. Titles, you want to be catchy. You want them to be something that grabs your attention, hooks anybody who looks at our worship bulletin and says, I wonder what he's going to preach about today. Well, when you preach about the wise men every single year, you start running out of sermon titles. Now, I told Phil Thompson, who's not with us today, who's under the weather, I told Phil, our chairman of the deacons, this one time. He said, that's fine. You write the sermon, I'll write the title. I haven't taken him up on that offer yet, because who knows whether this will be in the bulletin that next Sunday. So, Phil, I hope you're watching today, and I hope you're feeling better. But today, the sermon title that I came up with, and I borrow sermon titles from other pastors, I borrow them from other things, experiences, whatever, but the sermon title today you saw in your bulletin is Wise Guys in Starry Skies. Now, this actually is drawn from a Christmas cantata that was written in the late 1980s by the Katy Hill Music Company. Now, I have not been fortunate enough to experience Wise Guys in Starry Skies, the cantata, or the kids' musical in person, but I would encourage you, if you have a little bit of time this week, maybe this afternoon, maybe sometimes this week as we kind of roll out of the Christmas season, if you go on YouTube and you type in Wise Guys in Starry Skies musical, you're going to have a couple videos that pop up. And so this week, as I was preparing for the sermon, I thought I would get in the spirit by watching some of these musicals. Now, I will tell you, if you go on there, there's going to be one, I think it was in 2015, that it will drop your mouth. I mean, I started watching this thing, and they started having kids come in, and they were coming in from everywhere. There had to have been over 500 kids in this cantata, and the whole experience. It was humorous. It was funny, but it brings focus to what this is today. So I encourage you, if you have time, Wise Guys, Starry Skies musical 2015 on YouTube. It's well worth the hour of watch. But the focus of that cantata and the focus of our sermon and our service today on Epiphany is, why did the wise men come from their homeland, which was so far away, to seek out this new king? Why did they do this? And that's what we'll look at today. Another story. A daycare worker was reading the story of Jesus' birth to her daycare children one morning. As usual, she stopped during this telling of the story to see if they understood what they were hearing. So she asked, "What do we call the three wise men?" Well, there was a bright, rowdy 5-year-old little boy standing at the back, immediately threw his hand up and he said, "The three maggots." Yes, you heard me say maggot in a sermon. Check that off the list for 2026. The teacher quickly listened and kind of redirected and said, "What gift did the Magi bring to baby Jesus?" That same little boy replied, "Gold, Frankensteins, and Smurfs." The teacher laughed, shook her head, closed the Bible, and ended the story. If you didn't know, the wise men, the Magi, did not bring Frankensteins and Smurfs to baby Jesus, even though that would have been a great picture. The story of the Magi is part of this Christmas story, and it's probably one of those stories that's the most fun to learn and often teach to children. It centers around these mysterious learned individuals from the East and the star they followed to find the child Jesus. When I was growing up at Connect Memorial Baptist Church, every year we would have some kind of children's program around Christmas time, and the wise men were the part that everybody wanted to be. Everybody wanted to be one of those well-dressed, carrying gold, frankincense, or myrrh in. I can tell you, I've been there in those shoes, and I caused a little bit of trouble, just like that 5-year-old little boy. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 today. Let us read the story of the Magi this morning. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, I will tell you today that you can finally make your nativity scenes at your house complete. You can finally add the wise men who have been journeying for some time. Now, you'll notice on our altar table today that the manger is still there. I thought about taking it off, but I didn't want to offend Kathy Hines. I brought the wise men, and only the wise men meeting Mary and Joseph. And unfortunately, it is a baby Jesus. We think he was probably 2 years old when he came. But if you find online a appropriate, scripture appropriate nativity scene that has a boy Jesus for this, let me know. I'm going to purchase it. I don't care how much it costs. I cannot find it. I've been in the search for it. But it's something about these wise guys, these wise men, these magi that showed up to Jesus to meet the new king that brings us hope during this season and a new year. So the story of the Magi, as recorded by Matthew, is often broken down into three key sections. And that's how we're going to look at our story today. In the first section of the story, we get to see the details of the travelers. This is found in verses 1 and 2. Matthew tells us that these travelers came from the east. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and these travelers came from some location east of Bethlehem, east of Israel. Now, the word used to describe them is magi, a word that is often used to describe magicians and astronomers from the area of Persia. And because of that time that it took for the magi to arrive to Bethlehem, some believe they may have come as far as India. In Acts chapter 13, verse 6, the same word magi is used to describe someone who dabbles in the magic arts and is a sorcerer. They were Gentiles who studied the stars. Perhaps the Magi had heard the prophecies of Daniel or another prophet, we just do not know, and they recognized the coming king's signs when he arrived. The facts remain that these individuals would have traveled far, and it would have been a daunting journey for them to take to arrive at the child, Jesus. So what was their motivation? Why have these people traveled to Judea? What is their purpose? Verse 2 tells us of two important things about these travelers from the east. The first thing we notice is their initial question. They ask, where is the one? Where is the one? This question shows what they are doing on this long journey. They are seeking. They are seeking a new king. They are seeking the one that God had promised would be delivered, the deliverer. The Magi went on a quest to find the one that has captured their attention in the sky. And they will not stop until they meet the one they are looking for. The second thing we can learn about these travelers is this. It tells us clearly what their intent was, to worship him. To worship him. They want to express honor. They want to express glory and praise from their hearts to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the shepherds arrived the night that he was born and worshiped him. Now, these magi from the east wish to do the same thing. I cannot help but think that these Gentile travelers teach us a few important lessons. They first teach us about seeking God. If you seek him, you will find him. Deuteronomy 4:29 tells us, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. The same message is echoed in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God's word is clear from the beginning to the end. If we seek after God, we will find him. He is never the one who moves or is far away. We are the ones who wander and must find him again. The Magi were honestly seeking God after. Are you seeking God this year? Are you seeking God in this 2026? Are you looking and seeking for Christ in your life? I hope you are. I hope you are. The Magi also remind us of the importance of worship. Their only goal of finding Jesus was to worship him. They had no other agenda, no other reason for making this long journey. They simply wanted to worship the new king. May we have that same attitude as we gather here each Sunday in 2026. We want to worship. It's an essential part of our lives. That brings us to the second section of this important story. The second thing we see from the story is the detour to Jerusalem. For some reason, the Magi decide to stop in Jerusalem instead of following the star to the very end. They take a detour, as we might say, to Jerusalem. Maybe they decide to stop and honor the present political ruler, the present political king. We just do not know. What we do know is the king they find in Jerusalem is not the King of Kings. He's not the Lord of Lords, but only King Herod, the puppet king of the Roman government. King Herod was also a puppet king of Satan. And why do I say that? Why do I say that Herod was the puppet king of Satan? Verse 3 tells us that the news at Jesus' birth, Herod had a very distinctive reaction. Herod was not overjoyed. Herod was not pleased. Instead, the Greek word used here is disturbed. Herod was disturbed. And it's meant to help us realize that everything was shaken up and that everything was in an uproar. There was confusion, agitation, and fear. Verse 7 shows us that Herod had a secret plan that served only himself and only served evil. He calls the Magi in secretly, finds out when the star had, they had first observed the star, and Herod then sends them away with a lie. Herod states that he too wishes to find the king and worship him. That was not his intent. We know this is not because of verse 12 and the story that we read last Sunday morning. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. You see, the Magi's detour in Jerusalem was Satan's attempt to destroy the Messiah in his early days. Satan used Herod the Great, certainly not a follower of God, to try and foil God's plan. Herod lied and would willingly murder innocent children to get to this one child. Satan used Herod to influence the honest, seeking Magi to try and foil God's plan. However, God's plan would not be stopped, and the Magi returned to their country by another root. Satan's attempt to foil the plans of God is still in effect today. Satan wants everyone to detour around Jesus at Christmas time and throughout the year to forget what this season and what Christ did. This brings us to the third section of this Christmas story, the destination of Bethlehem. The Magi learned from the chief priests and the teachers of the law that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and Herod sent them there. Their long journey was at an end when they finally arrived in Bethlehem. So what did they do when they arrived? Verse 11 tells us they bowed down and worshiped him. Not only that, but the Magi gave the Christ child extraordinary gifts. They gave him gold because he was a king. The frankincense that was given to Jesus was part of the sacred anointing oil used in sacrificial offerings as described in Exodus chapter 30. The myrrh that was given is most often used in the embalming process. What do these gifts tell us about Jesus? What do these offerings tell us about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? We must see that the Christmas story and the cross are intimately linked. They are one in the same plan by a loving and merciful God. The gifts of these worshiping Gentiles from the East speak of their understanding of who Jesus was and what he would do. He was the King of Kings that would die for all. That is who Jesus was from the very beginning. Jesus was always heading to the cross. Jesus was always ready to offer himself up for many. That is who Jesus was, and that is who the Magi experienced that day. And that's who we can experience this day. A purpose, a plan, the one who came to change the world. In closing this morning, who is Jesus to you this new year? Is he simply a decoration to put away and pull out again next Christmas? Is he a stranger from a strange faraway land? Or is he the one, the one, the one who was promised to change all humanity? The one that not just wise individuals from the East sought out, but millions have sought out and found as the truth, full of hope, peace, joy, and love. The great Anglican bishop J.C. Ryle said of these first seekers of truth, the Magi, he says this, "We read of no greater faith than this in all of the Bible. It is a faith that deserves to be placed side by side with that of the penitent thief. The thief saw one dying the death of a malefactor and yet prayed to him and called him Lord. The wise men saw a newborn babe on the lap of a poor woman and yet they worshiped him and confessed that he was the king." What do you see in this story? The story that we've heard so many times. What do you see in the story of the wise guys in starry skies? My prayer is that you see the one who came to change your life that day and this day. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending individuals from so far away to encounter the one. Thank you for capturing our imaginations through this powerful story of journey, of seeking, and of celebration. Father, may this year of 2026 be that for each one of us, searching, seeking you, celebrating all that you have done for us and through us and in this place, and sharing that same story as we go out into this world. We know about the journey to Bethlehem, but we don't know how the journey back to the east for the Magi went. But what I do know, is that they spread the word of the new king, the one that had been born in Bethlehem, but the one who came to save the world. We lift this up to you this day. Amen. As we come to our final closing hymn this morning, maybe for the first time today, you recognize who that one is, the one the Magi sought, the one we seek in this place this morning. If you're ready to embrace him as the one that changed your life, I'll be down front. Come and let me welcome you as a brother in Christ. Maybe you're seeking a group of believers that seek out Jesus and seek what he calls and how he's changed the world. That is who we are here at First Baptist Elon. If you're seeking a church home, come forward and I will embrace you and welcome you into this First Baptist Elon family. Or maybe you've been struggling. Maybe as the calendar has turned, maybe as 2026 has arrived, you have a lot of questions, concerns, anxiety, worry. If you're in that place in this new year, I encourage you to come to the altar. Lay it at the foot of Jesus this morning, because he is the one who can give you hope and peace. Come, I'll pray with you. One of our deacons will come and pray with you. Whatever needs to happen, whatever decision you need to make today, don't put it off. Don't say, well, I'll get to it in this new year. Make it the beginning of this year. Let us stand and sing this morning. this place today. Know that we go out into a world where that needs to see the light and that needs to experience the one that we came and worship today. Go out bearing that news as we leave today. Go in peace and Happy New Year.